From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by...
It's Sunday morning. That means it's Loose on the Lead. Good morning, Seth Merrill and Steve Bick. Steve, good morning.
So disgusted with you. I don't know what to say.
He walks up on the set and immediately points. I said, summer casual. I'm wearing the seersucker. It's a beautiful morning. This is what, you don't always have to wear the tie. It's summertime.
You believe this? Is this what you're paying for? Coming here like he just stumbled out of Desperate Annie's?
You just want to be able to point and say, hey, I remember that tie.
That's true, actually. It's a good point. And this one you're not getting, by the way. This is the stable tie with the lime green and the blue dot.
So yeah,
we're gonna take a poll. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a poll on Twitter about summer casual. It's your new nickname. You've had a few, but I don't know what I may just leave the set. I'm so disturbed by this.
I will say, though, I will make the point. I have been shocked when I've seen you over on the front side this season because you're going summer casual some afternoons over there.
But not when I'm on television. It's one thing sitting over there when nobody's paying any attention and everybody is, you know, pretty much,
you've got that Bo Brummel of Saratoga moniker to live up to, though.
And note that even when I'm, you know, not fully regaled, I still look good. I don't look like something out of the laundry basket. I'll tell you,
you thought you
were going to just slide by.
I was amazed. I came for the handicapper support. Sully was also summer casual, so it was working out in the handicapping show.
He doesn't have the notoriety to live up to yet. After a few years, he can ascend to a position where, you know, he can take the time, but you're the face of the network.
We will do a poll. I think most people out there probably appreciate the summer casual.
What I don't get, it's like 73 degrees. It's like perfectly comfortable and dry. For the last 3 weeks, it's been like 90 and humid, schnitzing up a storm. I'm a non-sweater, so I don't get schnitzed.
A little more comfortable.
But wow. I will come back to this during the show. Well, you know what? We'll ask Dave Groening what he thinks.
Okay. Dave will be summer casual for sure.
Well, Dave's a slob, he's not the right guy to bring into this.
Watching workouts, so he's clearly not going to be wearing a tie.
Unbelievable.
We got to get into the racing. We're already minutes into the show and we haven't talked any racing.
Well, believe me, the public is they're horrified. They figured between the handicappers report and now you were going to slap on a tie. Yeah. I actually thought of that for a second. You were going to put a tie on.
Commercial, I was going to run out and put on a tie. that was not going to happen. But yeah, we'll poll because I think people are with me more on this. All right, let's get to the racing. And yesterday, and let's kick right off with the Alabama. We'll watch him come out of the gate here. The question mark was going to be the distance for Swiss Skydiver. She's going to be the number five. She kind of pulls away. And, the chart margin was 3.5, but there was no point down the stretch where you thought she was going to get caught, certainly. And this really sets things up now. Last week, I thought Tis the Law was the best three-year-old and had the experience edge, and I thought the same yesterday for Swiss Skydiver. The question mark for both was the distance. They both answered the bell and answered the question mark. But whereas Tis the Law, I think, kind of stepped out and kind of validated his leadership of the three-year-old division, Swiss Skydiver, given what happened last week, just validated she's right up there, but before last week, I would have put her at the top of the class. Now I think most people maybe have Gamine there. But she validated Swiss Skydiver that she is right in the conversation. And it's on now, obviously. The Kentucky Oaks becomes very, very intriguing in 3 weeks. And outside the winner's circle yesterday, Ken McPeak said it's most likely the Kentucky Oaks. They considered the Derby, but it's most likely the Oaks. But then he added, if she came out of that all right, they would then consider perhaps the Preakness. But as I say, 3 weeks now, the Friday before the Derby, Gamine and Swiss Skydiver. I can't wait.
Should be good. You're also forgetting Speech.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who has to be considered in here. This was a dominant performance, and we're basically in the same arena that we were sitting here a week ago, except a week ago Seth had on a tie. Swiss Skydiver, as dominant yesterday as Tis the Law was the previous week, and this was a very solid field, a very similar scenario, and she just dispatched this field with tremendous disdain. And I wasn't worried about the distance with her per se, given, you know, the way in which she runs. I thought, you know, maybe somebody else moves up, particularly Harvey's Little Goyle. And I'm sure if Junior Alvarado had it to do over again, he would have waited to make that move. I don't know why he was in such a hurry, but anyway, the horse that waited to make the move, Bonnie South, and she did show up and chase Swiss Skydiver home, but this race was over entering the far turn.
Yeah.
This was never in doubt. So Swiss Skydiver, as you say, and Gamine hooking up, and, Gamine has a real distance question to answer, while Swiss Skydiver, you know, clearly doesn't. And, sometimes you hear horsemen talk and it sounds like trainer speak, and McPeak had, said how she's done everything right and she snaps out of the races and she's been heavily raced. This is a seventh start already, and she's, clicking them off on a steady basis. And he says, she keeps going to the bottom of the tub and all the cliches you hear. But this was a validating performance. Really impressive. I don't know what else to say. The disappointment in here, Spice is Nice, who had absolutely no excuse. I mean, the pace was honest, steady. It wasn't overly demanding. Crystal Ball, she was in trouble. Not even halfway into the race, you could see that Castellano was having to ask her. I know some people made a case that McPeak's other horse, En Butante, was, a major player. Yeah. I don't know. I was impressed. I used three in here to make sure to get through. I did not expect as dominant a performance from her. Very impressive.
Yeah, it was very impressive. And you mentioned six races already this year going into that. Now with Saratoga, seven races so far this year as a three-year-old filly, seven different tracks, which is impressive as well. Tyler Gaffleone was on board yesterday, but he was asked, when I say outside the winner's circle, that's now where they do the post-race interviews. They have a little area set up where the press can be socially distanced and whatnot. Somebody asked Tyler Gaffleone, you're going to lobby for the ride down? He said, I'm not going to get the ride. It's going to be Brian Hernandez, which Ken McPeak then confirmed when he came and talked to the press. He said Brian Hernandez is kind of his go-to guy down there in Kentucky, and that's going to be the game plan. He said, he said she's going to leave town tomorrow, because I asked, were you going to stick up here to train? He said, no, we're going to go down and get some work down in Kentucky, leave it on Monday.
Tell you what, think about Brian Hernandez Jr. Derby weekend. He's got this filly on Friday, and he's got Art Collector on Saturday. That's about as potent a pairing. We'll see what Manny, see who Manny ends up with, because he'll certainly, I imagine, he'll get an Oaks mount. And of course, part of the story, I suppose, since we're talking Kentucky and Derby and Oaks follow-ups, part of the story this week, of course, between the decisions on how many people are going to be allowed at Churchill. It looks about 23,000, looks like capacity. And then on Friday, the news came about the jocks. They're going to have to be there at the beginning of the week.
Monday.
They'll have to have, you know, for they'll be there. The Derby week racing starts on Tuesday. So they'll have, if they want to ride all week, they absolutely can. They don't have to be, you know, sequestered. But you have to have a total of three tests. They'll be tested. You have to have a test before you get there. Yeah, you'll be tested the day you arrive, Monday at Churchill, and then you'll be tested later in the week as well. So those considerations now being locked in, and we've already got some decisions trickling out about, you know, who's going to not participate, including Joel Rosario, who's going to ride out the meet here, and we'll see. You know, who else? Obviously, Manny's going, and so forth. We'll see who else I've got.
To the Churchill announcement, they have to be there Monday. Naira also announced that the rules will kind of stick in place for the bubble here. So there's no coming back
on
to
Sunday
Saratoga.
And Monday. Yeah. Yeah, Sunday, Monday to ride is not going to happen. In fact, Brian, put up that Derby. Let's do that. Well, actually, save it for pneumatic. We'll save it for pneumatic, all right? We'll save the Derby graphic. We'll give you what looks to be the current 20-horse field, barring any late maneuvers and decisions. We'll go through that in a little bit.
All right, well, let's take a look at the Saratoga Derby from yesterday. Also on the card, $500,000 up for grabs for the three-year-olds on the turf. And Chad Brown, getting back to Chad Brown-esque numbers at the meet, and he gets it done with domestic spending here for Klarovich. He said after the race, this horse, it took him a little while to get domestic spending right into the races, to get his head into the game. The third last time in the Hall of Fame just, I think, helped, it seemed like, maybe get him moving in the right direction. And Chad said coming out of that, he'd been working very well and seemed to have kind of figured it out and looked at yesterday, getting up late. Nice stretch run. But, boy, you talk about a nice stretch run. A number five, Gufo, makes a big run. No Word finishes third. Colonel Liam, fourth. And Decorated Invader, the 4-5 favorite, winds up fifth in here. But, again, you can see the Klarovich colors and domestic spending coming on the outside here.
This race ended up.
There's five of them right there.
Well, and it just wasn't run. It didn't get executed really the way anybody was expecting. This thing ended up in the hands of the riders pretty quickly, and tremendous job by Arat. My day went sideways with this. I mean, not that I didn't respect domestic spending. I just there's been a lot of this, frankly, whether it's speed horses, two speed horses, and one doesn't break well, and the other ends up with a loose lead, or you know, decision making, snatch and grab, as you hear more often than you like to hear. This was unusual. This race did not have the anticipated set of you know, experience that we were looking for. But I was impressed. This horse, you know, you also get distance. You know, the mile and 3/16 of these, you know, these stretching out, it changes things up considerably as well. So, nice job.
And when they purchased over in Europe, that was only the fourth career start. So, Klarovich, yet another nice runner with Chad Brown. All right, let's move on and pull up the Ellis Park Derby. Wanted to pull that up because it was last Sunday. So we talked about it ahead of time, but we obviously didn't get a chance to see it. But I wanted folks to get a chance to look at Art Collector, the probable, you would think, second choice. It's going to be interesting to see this one on our AP, but I think it's going to go to Art Collector to be a second choice. Nice field of 12, or a full field of 12, and Art Collector gets it done pretty easily. He's the 2-5 favorite. Art Collector will be the number 4 horse. Attachment rate for Dale Romans runs second, Necker Island third, but again, attachment rate, the eventual chart margin, 3 1/4 lengths. So as I say, goes into the Kentucky Derby, the likely second choice behind Tis the Law.
And again, this there's been one impressive prep performance after another. This was really solid, and comes back with another triple-digit fig, which, you know, he's now run three straight, and he'll be second choice. I mean, I don't think there's any guarantee right now that Honor AP is third choice. Authentic may end up third choice for Baffert. We'll see, but we'll look at the Derby lineup after we take a look. Let's look at the race from New Jersey.
I had the Adirondack. Why don't we go to the Pegasus?
Yeah, because we're talking Derby.
Keep the three-year-olds out together. So we'll go to the Pegasus here yesterday. Just wanted to pull that up because it was the last Derby points race, and Pneumatic gets it done. Again, this was yesterday at Monmouth. Pneumatic will be the number 5 horse here. Jesus's team, the number 8 second. Arkin, the number 6 third. But Pneumatic at 4-5 wins off by... Daylight, chart margin was 2 1/4 lengths. This was start number 5, win number 3 for Asmussen and Winchell. This was a follow-up to a fourth-place finish in the Belmont Stakes. But again, a Derby points race, a small Derby points race, but does put Pneumatic sitting now at number 11 with 45 points, getting it done yesterday in the Pegasus.
What was amazing about this, this race on paper, It felt like there were literally 5 horses that could succeed here, including obviously Pneumatic as the favorite, then Jesus's team, Arkan stretching out. I put up a stat yesterday. Michael Pino stretching out sprint to route in stakes. He had done it 4 times. 2 wins. And 2 other board hits. So now he's had 5 board hits, 2 wins, and 5 tries, because Arkan holds third. Then there was also a scene on TV who was returning after the layoff, not seen since the Florida Derby. And even Super John had a bit of an interest look, second off the layoff, second start of the 3-year-old season for John Service. And Pneumatic, when I switched over, because this was also part of the cross-country pick 5, so there was a lot going on at once. There was also the races from Woodbine at the same time, the King Edward and the Saratoga Derby, and all 3 were in close approximation. When the odds popped up, and he was even money or less, he was might have been 4-5 already, and I thought, wow, they're betting this like the race is already over. And then he goes out and he runs to that 4-5. I did not think he looked like a 4-5 shot in this group. And Joe Bravo rode him like he was 4-5. And you know, he wins easily. Jesus' team followed up well, and he's sitting right now. And now we can show the Derby graphic. I've been eager to get to this. Jesus' team is sitting right now on my calculation 21st for Jose D'Angelo, and okay, so there you go. A few things to introduce this. Obviously, Swiss Skydiver is on there, and on Churchill Downs's list, Swiss Skydiver is being counted as a participant, but she's not going to participate. It would be the dumbest thing ever for her to run in the Derby off of that nice performance in the Alabama. What do you want to be? You want to win the Kentucky Oaks or be, you know, 7th in the Derby? Because that's what you're looking at. She's not a serious Derby contender against those top contenders at the top of the page. So I don't count her in my list, which means Necker Island right now is sitting 20th. Jesus's team, Kiss Today Goodbye. You'll see the 3 horses with 0s. Sherrill's Spite for Atfield and Mr. Fipke. They want in. They would run.
That's the interesting one at the bottom of that list, certainly.
Well, and Pletcher, Happy Saver probably wouldn't run. Money Moves wants to run as well. So the 2-0 horses. We don't really know where Cruel Jack stands, and we do know that D'Angelo wants to run Jesus' team. The decisions that are going to come this week include Rushy, not even necessarily this week. It might not be for another 10 days. Rushy from Michael McCarthy is iffy, but I'm counting him in. McCarthy was on with me on radio, and that was far from a denial. He said, in fact, that he's training Rushy as if he's running 10 furlongs, but he could run in the Pat Day Mile. Storm the Court, absolutely. Everything, even Peter Ertin apparently has said the last day or so that a couple of good works from Storm the Court and they're running, period. So Sol Delonte, sitting 17th, has been sort of limping his way into this a little bit. He's had some hiccups, so he's got to stay together. Bean Cohn's got to hold him together. After that, everybody's a go in there. Who's nobody else? I don't see how Pneumatic doesn't go after that win for Winchell. So now a lot of it is jockey decisions. If you did not see King Guillermo yesterday, there's only one piece of video. Kevin Kirstein, KK, who is Darren Rogers' assistant at Churchill, he took about a 30-second video of King Guillermo, who has got this crazy approach. I mean, he's coming in. He's going to come in off of a 80-day layoff, some like crazy that. Layoff. In the meantime, he looks spectacular. He looks terrific. And I recommend, I'll send the link out on Twitter. I recommend you watch this because at the end, first of all, the horse is as aggressive as can be in the lane. Well, I called it controlled aggression. Miguel Main is aboard, and he's got a nice hold on him, but you can see the horse really wants to go, but he's allowing Main to hold him. Then, after the past the wire, he's galloping out. There's three horses, two on the rail, one trailing, and Mena knifes through the three of them and got right around them. It is very impressive.
There was also video yesterday of a good work by Honor AP out at Del Mar. And it's similar. He gets past the wire, and Mike Smith goes another furlong or two with him. Mike Smith was on board for the workout, so there was another nice one. King Guillermo is one of those to me, though, that he's got talent, and workouts like that will attract attention. But he's one of those that after the race he'll run up the track and people will go, yeah, we shouldn't have jumped on board on the layoff.
Well, and the only horse we really have, I think, as a point of reference in recent memory, who was it of Todd's that won the Tampa Bay Derby, and then fishtailed around for a period and then ran the Derby and ran like a decent seventh or eighth or something. I don't know. I don't know what I tell you. Miguel Main is going to ride. He's one of my favorite riders, and Main will extract every ounce of energy out of King Guillermo. I can guarantee you that. If you're looking for oddballs, because people are going to be looking for oddballs to use with the obvious contenders. I mean, there's people obviously convinced already that Tis the Law is not losing. Period. And I understand that approach. But let's see what he draws. The Derby gate is even with the new 20 horse gate. It's still, you draw the one hole, you got some things to deal with. You're going to start to formulate ideas, and there are some late runners in here. Enforceable is a horse that it could come clunking up and pick up pieces at 40 to 1. Dr. Post, but the thing I don't like about Dr. Post is they've been very iffy about competing. Yeah. It looks like they are, but it looks like I'm speculating that Flavian Pratt takes the mount. We also haven't talked about George Hall prompting Max Player out from under Linda Rice this week, which feels pretty underhanded. I mean, what did Linda Rice do wrong? I suppose under the circumstances, getting him to Churchill and training on the track for 3 weeks, there's some positives to that. But, Linda would have sent a staff. If that's what they wanted, Linda, and she would have gone and supervised back and forth as needed to watch him prepare. It seems like a very unfair thing to have done to Linda Rice. It's not our typical Derby field, but let's be honest, it's not our typical Derby. But we're still going to have to formulate some ideas about horses that can hit the board and such. Major Fed's going to be coming in off of a considerable break, right? Since the Bluegrass, he was supposed to run at Ellis. You got Dale Romans with Attachment Rank, one of the hardest riding jocks. Joe Talamo is a physically strong rider who will bring finish.
Storm the Court, God bless him.
Storm the Court is going to surprise you when you look at his numbers. He actually, particularly on Thoroughgraph, he's actually, people are saying he hasn't moved forward. He actually has moved forward.
Yeah.
He actually has, and I don't know if he's going to, he would still have to improve, I think, to impact Derby, but he's going to be a big price, and he's going to be completely overlooked, and yet he's within range of that middle group of horses, you know, that are going to be 12 to 20 to 1, and he'll probably be higher than that. I think there's a lot of horses on that list that people are going to readily put lines through, obviously. Right away, but it's still a mile and a quarter. It's not the spring though, Seth.
Yeah,
it's not May, and that's the thing I think that needs to be thought about the most. You know, a lot, 3-year-olds, yes, they can still develop, and there's still some lightly raced horses on that list.
Some 3-year-olds can get to the Derby and not be technically 3-year-olds.
That's right.
At this point of the year, though,
absolutely,
they have all reached that point. It's all a different level of maturity, and so that is going to be a different little chink in the equation as we kind of figure out what to do with those. All right, why don't we take a look? Because we had a nice little 2-year-old race up here earlier this week, and the 2-year-old race, 2-year-old stakes. And I just wanted to show that as well before we go to a break. The Adirondack from earlier this week, and it will be thoughtfully for Steve Asmussen. Off a pretty good-looking debut win down at Churchill on June 11th. Paid just under $1 million for this one, and now has lived up to it in 2 career starts. Thoughtfully, the number 4 horse. Make Mischief, number 2, runs second. Avis Grace runs third. But Thoughtfully went off as the even money favorite and lived up to it. I took a little pop with Lucifer's Lair in here. That one disappointed. Ran last in the field of 5, but no disappointment from Thoughtfully. Gets it done for Steve Asmussen in the second career start. So nice little 2-year-old filly there, as I say, living up to a big auction price.
You know, Asmussen left and right. And then yesterday too, right? You had the 2-year-old yesterday that was sharp, Calibrate. Another strong performer for the Asmussen barn. They've been churning out the 2-year-old successes, and in a season with 2-year-olds that have been a little, a little slow coming together, the Asmussen barn, they've been firing on all
Part
cylinders.
Of that has been the schedule too. The schedule got all jumbled up earlier.
Absolutely.
In the year, and so later starts.
Well, and distribution of the 2-year-olds, period, because so many, there was the late sale at OBS, and a big distribution of the 2-year-olds from there. People that have a lot of homebreds, the homebreds, they stayed on schedule. So, and Asmussen certainly with the Winchell team and some of the Stone Streets and so forth. There was the group that did sell in March, and so getting those out, they had a little bit of a jump on timing.
Good. All right, why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll hit on a little more news, and a little bit after that, our friend Dave Grenig will swing by again. He was doing some clocking over on the turf side, I think over at Oklahoma this morning, but he will be in as well. All of that when Loose on the Lead continues.
The New York hero, Tis the Law and Manny Franco, to win the Belmont Stakes.
When New York bred Tis the Law won the 2020 Belmont Stakes, OTB TV was live with owner Jack Knowlton to capture all the excitement.
And certainly, seeing what he did today, we think a mile and a quarter is well within his range, and hopefully he can prove it at Saratoga Racecourse.
For exclusive interviews and racing information, stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV and win more.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow and Steve Bick, and I pulled up last night the Equibase stats for jockeys and trainers, which has been an intriguing story throughout the meet. Jockey side of things now, Irad has pulled a couple ahead of his brother Jose. It's 37-35. Joel Rosario in third with 30. Then a little bit of a drop off. Castellano at 17. Gaffleone and Luis Saez with 15. On the trainer side of things, it's going to be interesting to see how the last 3 weeks play out, because Chad Brown is just so loaded that people have been saying he'll fire at some point. He tied up Todd Pletcher yesterday. They're both sitting with 18 atop the trainer standings. Clement, after the big start, sitting with 16. Mike Maker with 14. Linda Rice with 10. And Steve Asmussen, Rudy Rodriguez just behind with 9. I'll mention Jim Bond just because he's going so well. He's got 7, but 7 for 27. So he's hitting it a great percentage. Jim Bond having a really good meet.
Yes.
But both of these, the trainer and jockey side of things, have been great battles through the first 5 weeks.
Well, and I'm glad we had Jim Bond early in the meet when we did, because he was confident. You could tell that he was happy with the horses that he was bringing aboard. So nice to see one of the most liked and respected horsemen on the circuit.
And a hometown guy you can root for. He's got the barn right down the street.
Yeah. Yes.
And the nice farm just over in Stillwater, I think it is. I'm not going to think of it.
Yeah, Song Hill.
Song Hill, correct.
Song Hill.
But, yeah, that is another name worth mentioning on the jockey side of things. Talked a little bit during the handicapper's report, but obviously with yesterday's performance, Tyler Gaffleone continues to impress, as he has really all year long since moving from Florida to
Absolutely.
Kentucky, now coming up here to Saratoga, doing very well. Luis Saez, after a little time on the sidelines before he could get restarted, he's doing well up here at Saratoga also with the new agent, Karen McLaughlin.
Yeah, exactly, and up to his old tricks in terms of putting horses on the lead, and nobody puts him to sleep on the front end like Saez. He is so good at it, just terrific. You know who, by the way, you mentioned Linda Rice earlier. Jose Lascano, with quite a few less mounts on a daily basis, Lascano has had a very good meet and is riding really well. There it is, 12 wins, 75 mounts. Yeah. And, you know, the leaders have 140, 150 mounts. So literally more than twice as many. And very nice job by Lascano.
Yeah, no question about it. I see Dave is in our green room. But before we get to that, I did want to pull up one more. I didn't call for the replay, but I had the chart here. And I saw it when I was looking at the chart yesterday. I just wanted to mention Pink Lloyd. Gets it done yesterday in the Bull
Adventure.
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. I mean, this guy is now 8 years old for Robert Taylor up there. When we've been up to Woodbine, we've interviewed Robert about the horse, and we watched him out working in the morning. He has to kind of go out after everybody else. He's quirky. He doesn't like to work with other horses, and so he'll be there after the other workout. A couple of wins coming into this race yesterday as an 8-year-old. Also, oh, there we go. Pulled up the replay.
Very impressive. Actually,
Pink Lloyd's going to be the number 4 horse. And gets it done. This is the 2017 Canadian Horse of the Year. Now continues at age 8, has $1.5 million in the bank. And it's just, you know, as I said, wanted to you know, pull this one up just as a notable, because as I say, we've talked about him.
Look at him! Look at him! Knife through horses here.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, nice performance there.
The racing was really good, and he's going to just hold off Olympic runner, the Cassie Gary Barber. You can see the pink jacket. Who was coming at the end, and Olympic Runner, a horse that might actually be kind of finding himself. The racing yesterday was really good at Woodbine. Theodora B. for Dickinson wins the dance smartly, and I mentioned King Eddie.
They had the plate trial yesterday.
Plate trial yesterday, and in fact, you got that horse of Donato Lanny. It was a big day for Hill and Dale yesterday, one of our sponsors and good friends, because, of course, Curlin's Voyage won the Woodbine Oaks, a horse that John Sakura bred and owns with some hockey buddies, and he was thrilled. And then Donato Lanny, who, of course, works at Hill and Dale, he owns Clayton, the Bodemeister, that is out of the Smart Strike mare, who wins the play trial at 3-5. And Mrs. Weber, March to the Arch, takes the King Edward yesterday. Yeah, that was the other stake on a terrific slate of action. Here, look at this. I tell you what, you're hitting on all cylinders. Here's Halo again, and he's going to come through. And Clayton on the outside, actually, and is going to persevere to the wire.
Yeah, there you go.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
We'll head to a break. When we come back, as I say, we see Dave Grenig sitting in literally the green room for us here. And we'll talk to Dave from the Daily Racing Forum right after this. So please stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead. Seth Merrill and Steve Bick, joined now by our friend Dave Groening from the Daily Racing Forum. Dave, good morning.
Guys, how are you?
Dave?
Thanks for stopping by.
We've been trying to get you here for weeks.
I told you that, and I gave you the wrong day, too. I shouldn't have said today. 98 turf wards today, and I cut out them after like 60. So you guys are important guys. So
we appreciate that. We talked to you as you were sitting down and asked about some big workouts. Who was out there today?
Oh, well, we started early this morning with Midnight Bazoo, getting her first work back since the loss in the first Lenson. Showing an easy half and 50 and change. Echo Town, your Jerkins winner, he went 50 and change. Then we, just sort of a steady stream of horses throughout the morning. And then the turf, Chad Brown had all his stars out there, Rushing Fall and Sister Charlie. We're prepping for next Sunday's Diana. The Diana on a Sunday. Yeah, it is 2020, isn't it? You got this Rock Emperor with a without parole. I think they're going to run in the Saturday's four-star day. If he could run as many as five in there, actually, it'll be interesting to see when the entries come out Wednesday how many he's going to have in there. But he had like 22 of the 98 working on the turf, too. They're still motoring on the turf course over there.
And for people who don't know, talk about the turf workouts, because they're a little bit different than dirt workouts, main track, and over at Oklahoma. Dirt workouts are pretty much every day. Turf workouts are a little bit more limited.
Turf workouts are basically Fridays and Sundays, whether cooperating. Sometimes there was a request put in by a couple of trainers who wanted to get some additional maidens on the turf, so we had turf the last couple of Mondays. We're not having it tomorrow, which is probably why there's 98 going there today. And you have it's spread out a little bit, where they start at 9:45 with what they call the specials, which are the stakes horses, and they get to work inside the dogs, which are the orange cones that you see in the middle of the turf course over there. So those workouts are probably going to be a little faster, A, because they're inside, and B, because they're the better horses. And then you get after that, they sort of stagger them every 15 minutes. 10 o'clock comes the next set, and 10:15, 10:30, 10:45.
Oh, very good. We'll hit on various topics here, but before we move along, let's go to yesterday and get some of your thoughts on the Alabama. I think we'll have the stretch run replay. We watched the entire race a little bit earlier. Swiss Skydiver, kind of a replay of last week in that a top three-year-old, yesterday a top three-year-old filly, validated what we had seen earlier in the year, despite the question marks about the distance. She looked pretty good. I mean, the time's certainly a little bit different, Tis the Law last week, as compared to Swiss Skydiver, but visually the performance was pretty good.
She was very impressive. I don't know if I had a question mark on the distance so much. I thought there might be a couple of fillies in here that might be ready to step up and make the next step. And you wonder with a filly like Swiss Skydiver, like, isn't all this traveling around going to catch up to her at some point? And to this date, no. she got a 102 by her, career best, I believe, yes, from yesterday's performance. She was wrapped up late by Tyler Gaffalione, who did a sensational job by doing that, by the way. And, this is the kind of filly you have to root for. She's been in Fairgrounds. She's started the year at Tampa. She went to Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Santa Anita, Bluegrass against the boys, and now here. I mean, you got to kudos to Ken McPeak and Peter Callahan for running her on all those spots, and kudos to the filly for showing up in most of those spots. It didn't get off to a great year for her, but you got to stretch out around two turns, and she's shown that she's a very quality filly. And I look very much forward to her matchup against Gamine. I mean, Gamine is this brilliant speedster, where maybe Swiss Skydiver isn't brilliant or very as fast, but she's tenacious. She's going to keep coming at you, and you're going to have running shoes to beat her. It's going to be interesting. You have a set. You know, we never had this. Obviously, we've never had a lot of things before in this year. But you're using the Alabama to get to the Oaks, and the test to get to the Oaks. So you get Gamine's going 7/8 to 1/8, and Swiss Skydiver is going 1¼ to 1/8. So they're going to meet in the middle on a neutral site on September 4th, and I'll be sitting here somewhere with you guys and watching it on TV probably.
I said earlier, I'm looking forward to that, because 2 weeks ago I would have put Swiss Skydiver ahead of the three-year-old filly division. I think after last week, Gamine has slightly moved ahead. Given what we saw yesterday, Swiss Skydiver moved right back into contention there. But now we get to see, 3 weeks after they've kind of labeled themselves in those positions, we'll get to see them on the racetrack and decide it.
Right. Well, that's the cool thing, that they will run head-to-head, and you'll find out who the best in a marquee race, who the best three-year-old filly is, and we won't have to guess, what if this, what if that?
Yeah.
You bring up a couple of points, Dave, too. That is a career best. It breaks the three-digit buyer barrier with the 102. And, the traveling around from Churchill, Tampa, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Santa Anita, Keeneland, Saratoga.
How many Swiss Skydiver stakes races will there be in about 6 years?
That's having run
they're all claimer.
the other part of this that when it comes to the breeding conversation, here's Daredevil, who of course the minute you send a horse out of the country and export him somewhere else to stand, send him to Korea, send him to Turkey, send them to Japan immediately. And they do that because the progeny aren't doing very well. The minute Daredevil got shipped out of the country, he took off. And there's like a half a dozen of winners that he's had. And, of course, this filly is by far his best to date. But there's been a couple of other stake winners by Daredevil as well. It's crazy. He's out of a Johannesburg mare. And so the mile and the eighth, mile and a quarter was not etched in stone either.
Yeah, but go back in that pedigree and there's Aladar and Strike.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's deeper in the pedigree. Yeah. It sits. Look, she outran her pedigree three starts about.
Yeah.
So, I think at some point you just stop questioning it. And if she gets beat going a certain distance of ground, it's not the pedigree that's getting her beat. It's the fact that she just got beat.
The cool thing
about this horse is that they bought it for $35,000, so you don't have to spend $3.9 million to get a good horse or whatever, and that's pretty cool. And I did a story on Peter Callahan earlier in the week, and I asked him, because everybody asked me about this. He said I should name her Pygmalion or Cinderella or something like that. He goes, look, I'm not one that has to have the most expensive horse. I just like to have the fastest horse, and every 10 years I get one, and this is the one he got for this decade.
Kenny deserves a lot of credit.
All the credit for picking this one out.
He's been doing this. It's really his hallmark, is to pick out horses for reasonable amounts of money that become something. He picked out Curlin.
Yes, I know.
That's our running gag. It's a go-to, actually, because Kenny.
If you ever forget that he picked
Kenny
out Curlin, he'll remind you.
No, this was huge, and it really does set up again the parallels between Oaks and Derby and what we had here the last 2 weekends are really pronounced. That part of it is fascinating, and of course, this also does a little bit in terms of gilding art collectors.
Yeah, I don't know that Art Collector needed any flattering. I mean, I think Art Collector is a pretty darn good horse on his own right.
Yeah.
He doesn't, this, yes, if Swiss Skydiver ran seventh, you would have been like, but what about with that? But she didn't, and she won. But, I think Art Collector is, he needs no introduction. Next topic,
Seth.
Oh, I'm reaching
for topics.
I was just going through some of your headlines here recently, and the one that kind of jumped off, Guarana's going to the sidelines
She's probably, I can't imagine we'll see her again this year. She needs some time off, and when you go to the farm in August, it's unlikely that you make it back for anything meaningful. So now I guess their decision would be whether to bring her back next year, and as a three-time Grade 1 winner, I personally don't see it. They haven't said, hey, we're not bringing her back, but I don't know what there is else to prove for her, especially after that Madison was pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And another topic you had there that we were talking about a little bit earlier, Churchill updated their jockey protocols. They'll now have to have them in the Monday prior to the Kentucky Derby, but you've noted that some jockeys have already decided they're going to stick around here.
Yeah,
we also noted you aren't going to be able to come back. Once you go there, you're not going to be able to return for the Sunday and Monday here at Saratoga. Some jocks committed to staying here.
Yeah, I think at this point the jocks that are going are Franco, Gaffleone, Johnny V, because he rides Gamine. And he'll pick up, I think he picked up Authentic.
Authentic. Yep.
There were five of them. So Santana will go, and Castellano. The Ortiz brothers are staying. Lascano's staying, Rosario's staying, so I think it's like five. We're going to have, by my count, going through the condition book, and this includes if Cardenas is healthy enough to return, and he had a mild concussion, so I would think even if he has to sit out a few more days, like he's sitting out this week, if he has to sit out a few more days, he still has time to get back. We'll have 13 jocks in the room, so we should be okay. But that's, the Ortiz brothers staying here is pretty big, though. They're going to get a lot of business in the last. Now, the other interesting thing, and I don't have this, I haven't seen this anywhere, so What is Kentucky Downs doing in terms of letting the jocks in? Like, if you ride here on the 5th, can you ride there on the 7th or the 9th or something?
The speculation from Darren Rogers was that the same system is going to be used for Kentucky Downs, which will run essentially, you know, that week and then into the second week. And then Keeneland as well, apparently, is working.
When you say the same thing, but I mean, you don't have to be in Kentucky on August 31st to ride a Keeneland.
No. But when the time comes, they're going to try to get people in days before and get them healthy and approved and, you know, basically signed and delivered.
It sounds to me like if you're not in August 31st, you're not going to be able to ride not only Churchill, but the first week of Kentucky Downs. I mean, it's only 2 days afterwards. I can't imagine that there's going to be that massive.
And I think, you know, certainly when you think about who's coming from the West Coast.
It's just like Pratt.
Pratt.
And Smith.
Smith.
And I don't know who else.
There may not be anybody else. In fact, you know what we could do? Brian, let's put up that Derby list again. And we can make some determinations. Plus, we can get some opinions from Dave as we get closer. And, you know, the other, I'm just looking at the, you know, some of the out-of-town jocks that are going to move in. We mentioned Mike Smith. Paco Lopez is going to go from Monmouth.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Really? What? Really?
I think, I think that's going to change. I don't think New York traffic will be ridden by Paco Lopez. That's just a hunch.
Interesting. Brian, we got that graphic?
No, we're not seeing it out here.
Thank you.
Tyler Gaffleone worked the horse the other day, so that to me is a signal that he's got a chance. I don't see him on anything else. So
no, I reached out to Musiker today, and he said he's got a couple of things that works.
Yeah, I'm speculating, but I'm just wondering if that winds up turning
interesting. And you also noted that you don't believe Pneumatic, a 99 buyer at Monmouth yesterday, very solid. And I just checked with Scott Blasi, Preakness probable, but he said horse gets back today. And he said, you never know.
I'd be very surprised if he ran in the Kentucky Derby. All right. Not their style to come back in 3 weeks. I think they ran in this race as a bridge
to
the Preakness. And, you know, the timing is maybe a little bit more timing than they need. But I don't think they – I think they have a realistic view of things. And, you know, let Tis the Law and Honor AP and Art Collector go – knock heads, and then you bring in a fresh horse, and whichever one of those decides to go onto the Preakness, you'd rather take on one of those. And if you look at Steve Asmussen's record in the Preakness, it's pretty good. Even if he doesn't win, some of his horses may have run their best races over there. Like, a horse like Tenfold. I know he won the Jim Dandy here, but, you know, his race to Justify was probably his best race.
Well, and with Trouble, too. Who knows?
I think... I'd just be very surprised. You know, this is a different year, guys. This isn't one of those years where, hey, I got a horse that qualifies for the Derby. I want to go because I want to enjoy the whole party thing. And it's not going to be like that this year. I'm also going to be a little bit surprised if they get a full field of 20. I'm thinking somewhere between 15, 16, 17. And that's, you know, that's just... And now, when you get that, if I'm right about that, when you get to that point, you know, then maybe someone would now, like, there's a horse on here. Oh, you do have, oh, he has to win. I didn't know Winning Impression had points. But a horse like Winning Impression probably jumps in the mix here because he can get in because you'll get down to that low level of number of points. And, you know, so maybe you get a hometown guy jumping in there just to take a shot. Attachment Rate's another one.
He's running.
I know he's in. He's one of my 15. But I don't know for a fact, like, you have Storm the Court up there. I don't know for a fact that he's running. Fitting the Fears, I guess they're going to shot. I mean, maybe I'm just reading it all wrong, but to me, this looks like a year where you're going to have, like, you know, 15, 16.
What's the latest from the Pletcher camp on Money Moves? I hear he's the more likely of the two 0-point Pletcher players.
Happy Save. Well, if you're talking about if you're what you're saying, the 2 0-point Happy Saver's running in the Jim Dandy. I've reported
that. Okay, so that's so very good.
Money Moves has a chance to run either in the Jim Dandy or the Pat Day Mile. He said he hasn't had any serious conversations regarding the Kentucky Derby. That's what he said. He's not saying they won't run in there, but he's saying as far as having a serious conversation about running the Kentucky Derby, That has not happened, according to Todd.
What about Dr. Post? Are they going?
Dr. Post is probably going. He
I'm just looking. Worked out a couple.
He had
of
a
days
solid workout the other day with Basin, who's now in the Pletcher Barn. Used to be in Askewson's Barn. I guess when you win a Grade One, you know what have you done for me lately? And Basin hasn't done much lately, so he got switched to Barnes. I would think Dr. Post, barring a negative workout coming up in the next week, I'd say he would go.
Dave, your take. I had Jay on Thursday, and I could tell that he was fairly nonplussed about what was done to Linda Rice with Max Player. Some thoughts about how this went down?
Unnecessary. I mean, I don't know why they had to make a change off that race. You know, this is a group, George Hall and Sport BLX, they're trying to market something here, and I guess they needed Linda to be a bigger cheerleader for the Derby than maybe she is. I think Linda was realistic. Linda didn't say she didn't want to go to the Derby. She just wanted to see how the horse trained before saying that she was going to go to the Derby. The horse certainly earned its way in with third place in the Belmont, third place in the Travers, third to the horse that's going to be favored in the Derby. I think she just wants to see how the horse was training and see how the race was developing, and maybe, you know, keeping something in mind about, hey, what if we skip that, let them knock heads, and we could catch them in the Preakness or something. And I guess the camp and the, you know, the ownership was like, no, we're going to the Derby, and we want to go to the Derby. Disingenuous for them to say something along the lines of, we want the horse to be at the track he's going to run at. This horse is trained at the Belmont Park training track 98% of his life, with the exception of a couple of breezes on the main track prior to the Belmont. They don't run races on the Belmont Park training track. So, best I know, you know, I think that was just sort of like, hey, we have to say something, let's say this, even as ridiculous as it may seem. Horse is going to work tomorrow at Churchill Downs. He'll start to, I can't imagine 9 days after the race, it's going to be an eye-popping, bullet-type work. But the horse deserves to be in the race. Linda deserves to still be training the horse. No aspersions against Steve Asmussen here, of course, but I didn't like the way it went down.
No, you're not alone. Tis the Law back on track as well this
Tis
week?
Tis the Law, he's been back on the track. I caught one of his gallops earlier, looked really good. I guess it's up to Barkley whether he wants to get three works in or two. I guess it's how aggressive the horse is galloping, whether you sort of give him, let him blow off steam in a 50 half mile, on Wednesday or Thursday, and then, come back every 6 days or 7 days with a 5/8 move, and they'll leave on the 31st, which is
Monday.
You have 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Yes.
Today's the 16th. So, yeah, it's August 31st. The plane leaves here and it runs on the 5th.
It's going to be interesting. No question about it. I'm with you. I'm kind of thinking a field of 15 or 16. But when Steve brought in this list this morning, I thought, man, maybe I read it wrong, too.
Yeah, like a horse like Rushy, does he go there? I don't know. The horse, I'm just looking at your list on the board here. Rushy, Storm the Court, Necker Island. I mean, the Necker Island people said, they said they want to, they're going to run. I mean, I guess if you get those three in there, it'll jump up. But I don't know. I'm just not. Rushy, Storm the Court. On your list here, Rushy, Storm the Court, and Necker Island are the three that I'm not sold on would go. And the ones you have below, I can't. Jesus' team was second in that race yesterday. Why would you go in that race off the, why would you go in the Derby off that race? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. Kiss Today Goodbye, Cheryl Spites and Rob Woodbine, Happy Savers to Jim Dandy, Money Moves, I guess is possible. But, you know, like I said, I don't know. There's some talent in this race. Tis the Law, Authentic Art Collector, Honor AP. That's a core four that.
Well, that's just it. After last week, I'm wondering why anybody's at that bottom 10.
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty solid. That's the Yankees. The core four right there is pretty solid. And I don't want to dismiss the New York Traffics and King Guillermo's there training. I'm not necessarily in love with the plan they came up with for King Guillermo. Was it Tampa Bay Derby to Kentucky Derby? That's the kind of horse, just like Linda's horse in the Belmont, could run a very, very good race and run third. But this time, could run a very good race and be seventh.
Yeah, exactly. I said I wasn't sold on that.
I tell you, the sleeper that's in there, that I don't know if he's got another big shot in him or not, but Caracaro has impressed me the way he's come back with his two races. Can he take another step forward? I don't know, but he still intrigues me a bit.
I agree, and it just so happened last week, the first person I talked to was Gustavo Delgado, who was coming off the track. I was right behind the photographer's pit, And I said, you got to be happy with that. He said, absolutely. I said, you got, now you know he can, he goes, yep, 10 furlong. He said, he's getting better. He said, this will move him way forward. He goes, couldn't have gone better. He said, we weren't winning today, but he was very happy with him.
Now, granted, those other horses we're talking about have to stub their toe. And I, you know, we haven't seen anything close to Tis the Law stubbing his toe. But if he, you know, so if he's the Tis the Law we've been seeing, good luck to everybody. But, you know, if there's some, the questions, there's one question, I'm not worried about the track so much with Churchill. The one question Tis the Law has to answer to me is how, will he be as effective running back in 4 weeks as he is 8 to 12? Because every one of his races has been 8 to 12, 7, 8 to 12 weeks. Point. Now he's got to come back in 4. He has not done that before. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying he hasn't yet.
That's a great point. And then the Preakness adds another twist to that.
The thing about the Preakness, though, if he wins the Derby, how many are chasing him to Baltimore?
Yeah.
How many are really going to chase him to Baltimore? And there's not that much waiting in the wings. I know we talked about, you know, Happy Saver and I guess whatever the Jim Danny would bring. First Line, by the way, was the very first horse on the track this morning to Breeze. He actually got out there right before the Aspison horses, and he's looking at the Jim Danny.
Kind of repeats that, maybe the Preakness after the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I'm not so sure. You know what? If he run to the Kentucky Oaks and then maybe point to the Distaff, I guess he could have come back to the Preakness, but she could come back to the Preakness. I'm not so sure. You know, he's talking about, now I have enough points to get in the Preakness. Well, I know Kenny probably knows this, but those points mean nothing to the Preakness. That is, it's the road to the Kentucky Derby. It's not the road to the Preakness in terms of point races.
Dave, before we let you go, obviously you cover New York racing all year long for the Racing Form. Very different 2020 that played out at Aqueduct earlier this year and into Belmont. Now Saratoga, very different. You've been covering the meet now for the first 5 weeks. Talk a little bit about the meet, how it's different. Handle numbers, I think, have been okay so far, obviously, maybe even better than okay, given the situation. And talk a little bit about, we went over the trainer and the jockey standings earlier. I think the human side of the game, we've talked already about some of the equine performances, which have been stellar up here. But the human side has been a lot of fun through the first 5 weeks.
It's kind of neat. I think with Todd and Chad are tied, with Christoph right behind, and Maker's having a terrific meet. Linda Rice is having a great meet, doing something that she rarely does, which is just ship in, really, for the most part, from downstate. She's kept both the bulk for stable downstate. She's got 10 wins, but doing it that way. In fact, it was weird that she had a horse, I'm not even sure who it was, Breeze, this morning. I said, Linda's Breezing horses on the main track. The only other horse I've seen of Linda's on the main track was Max Player after he got here, and he had a few gallops. But that's kind of cool to see that it's competitive. Usually, I'd say at this time last year, Chad was probably 20 in front. I'm sure he's not happy about that, but he broke out yesterday with 3 wins, and he's going to have a big weekend probably next weekend with the four-star Dave, or three or four more horses, and the Diana on Sunday with some superstars in there. So the jockey race, the Ortiz brothers are going to, they're going to battle it out to the end, because they're going to stay here to the end, so that we'll watch that. And, the racing's been good, and the handle's been very good. That $29 million on versus $25 million on last year on Alabama Day. We'll see. The weather's been outstanding. We've lost 5 turf races for the first 20-some-odd days of the meet. That's unheard of. I'm sure we'll get rain somewhere along the line. But so far, it's been really good. And you get a lot of these close finishes on the grass. It's been fun to watch. Like that last race yesterday, if you were live with Bricko, hoping to cash in.
Me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even see.
8-4, bang. I was counting my money at the 8-ball.
Counting your money, yeah. I was like, where are you going to eat dinner? Wow. That was a brutal beat.
Oof.
Seth, though, last 2 days, pick 5 hits for Seth on his play sheet, on his bankroll plays. Both 4 figures, right?
Yesterday was 680 and 1300 on Friday. So
nice,
yeah. Nice. But I would have liked that pick 4 anyway.
I know. Yeah.
Dave, how difficult is it going to be to offset the Travers handle not being available in these last 3 weekends?
Yeah, I think the last 2 weekends will be tough, because you've got the Travers not being run in the last Saturday in August, and then the last weekend you're going up against the Churchill Derby card. So that's going to be a little dicey, I think.
But the Churchill, to pull a page from Seth, the rising tide lifts all boats. The money that'll be out and about on the 5th won't be surprised if the handle on Saturday the 5th beats the handle of Saturday the 5th a year, you know, the last Saturday of the meet a year ago, because there's going to be a lot of players, a lot of people playing.
Okay.
Way more than might have been the case otherwise. That's the one positive proviso of having the Derby. We'll see about that. And then Labor Day, you know, we still got serious stakes action, particularly closing weekend.
Right. Well, we get the 2 year olds and the Woodward on Saturday the 5th, which I guess will be Tacitus headlining that off the big suburban win. Jackie's Warrior on the Monday hopeful. The 29th is a sword dancer, right? So that's not the 5th. So Forgo will be the 5th. I'm not sure what we're going to get there, but I think Volatile is going to wait for the Vosburgh. I don't know what's happening with Vekoma. I'm not getting a good feel that Vekoma makes the Forgo. He hasn't worked since. Yeah, I know he had a little foot issue. I thought they were going to get back to the working this weekend. They have not. I find it hard to believe that they would go into the Forgo off just one work, even if he gets to the work tab the following weekend. So I'm going to say Vekoma doesn't make it. They have a decent replacement, those same owners, not the trainer, but the Gatsis and Hill and Funny Guy.
Yeah.
I think he could potentially slide in that spot for them. So I'm not, you know, we'll see if Vekoma makes it or not. It just doesn't sound like, you know, the way to go into that race. I know Mind Control is going to come back for that race. And maybe you'll get like a network effect or Complexity has been training very well for Chad.
Very good. Dave, as always, appreciate the visit. And again, I'll remind people they can catch your work in the hard copy daily race form at DRF.com. I always like to tout also you participate in the workout reports. Last 3 weeks of the meet, if people want to swing by the website and pick up the workout reports, gives you a little info that maybe is not on the page and perhaps a little bit of value, particularly up here with the 2-year-old races.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Oaks thought today, anything? Saratoga Oaks thoughts? By the way, who wrote that headline?
I don't know.
Who wrote that headline?
I don't know. It wasn't me. I don't write the headlines. My stuff, my name and below is the only thing I can be accountable for.
The Oaks headline or yesterday's Alabama headline?
No, the Oaks. The Oaks advance.
Yeah, no, I did not write that headline.
I didn't see that one, but Swiss Skydiver parachutes into the Alabama was it.
That was a good one. I like that one, but the Oaks one was not a good one. But see, now I've transitioned to I do like Enola Gay, so I would think that it's kind of a wide open race. It's between to me, although it's probably Enola Gay or Speak of Summer to Me. Is that what it is? Speak of Summer to Me.
Speak of Summer to Me.
Okay. Although Clement's got a little cold though lately. You know, since that great start, it's like 1 for 20-something.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I lost track of that.
But I'm going to give Enola Gay looked like she had no reason to win that, no shot to win that race.
Yeah, came flying.
Appalachian, I guess it was, at Keeneland, and then she came with a run. If she gets a little bit smoother trip than on the outside, I think she'll be tough to handle.
Very good.
And we'll see what headline they write off off the recap.
Again, appreciate the visit, and we will talk again.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, we're going to wrap it up for Loose on the Lead for this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill and Steve Bick, we're in here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so three more editions coming up.
One more for me.
One more?
Where are you going?
Kentucky.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
He's big time in us. He's a co-host.
Come on.
Well, that means 2 weeks where I definitely won't be wearing a tie.
By the way, how about this with the tie?
I said summer casual. You're good with this, right?
I said.
I said Dave's going to be at summer
I'm morning
casual.
Workout casual. So.
That's what I said. He's over doing the workouts. He's going to be summer casual.
I didn't get the memo about the tie, so. But I don't. You know what? I don't know if I brought a tie to this. To be honest with you, up to
this is the summer.
I think I brought one.
Not a summer for ties.
Yeah, summer casual. All right, so I win that. I win that debate. And all right, one more for you. So you have to tune in next week for the farewell.
Well, he's got to phone in.
You're not going to Zoom me from goodbye from Churchill Downs.
That's right.
Okay.
I'll give you my Shake Mo dollar.
A return trip for Shake.
If I was going, I'd have to bring him.
Well, I'll send Seth that picture. He'll put that up. I can't.
All right, so we'll zoom you in. All right, but well, we will wrap things up for this edition of Loose on the Lead. Some nice racing this afternoon as far as the network programming here in the morning. We'll be back on Wednesday morning kicking things off with the handicapper support at 9 a.m. But until then, enjoy the racing. Cash some tickets. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great afternoon.
From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by